So today I'm going to be talking with you on what I title Relationship Intelligences. Now, I'm going to be talking about four of them, but I'll talk about one today. Here's the first thing I want to say. The Bible says, by wisdom is a house built. By wisdom is a house built. Wisdom is a bigger name for the word intelligence. Is that okay? Intelligence is actually a subset of wisdom. All right. Knowledge is a subset of wisdom, understanding, and all of that. Wisdom is a broader language. So when you say by wisdom is a house built, what the Bible is simply saying is that by intelligence is a house built. And trust me, the Bible says a foolish woman brings down our own house. So it tells you that the absence of intelligence is the presence of foolishness. The absence of intelligence is the presence of foolishness. And you don't build a house by aggression. You build a house by intelligence. And one of the major expressions of intelligence is affection. Oh, what? Pastor, what did you just say? Yeah, so get ready. You're going to be writing a lot today. And if you have a brother who is having some challenges in relationship, you have a sister who is going through some challenges in relationship, a pastor, a friend, a business colleague, whatever the situation is, it'll be critical. If you will invite them to join us almost immediately. All right. Somebody in your office telling you, I'm having a problem with my husband. Somebody who is about to have divorce. All right. And sometimes you just realize that the reason for divorces are just pure ignorances. All right. So let's get started. Intelligences, put another way, has to do with wisdom. And today I want to show you how to leverage this thing called intelligence to build a marriage and relationship that is highly functional. And that is exactly what my commitment is and will be today. Let's get started. And the first intelligence, because I have a long stuff to do today, so I don't want to waste too much time on the intros. Well, let's get started straight away by talking about the first intelligence that you need in order to build a successful relationship, all right? And I call it positive intelligence. Whoa, positive intelligence. All right, watch this carefully. Everybody knows about intelligence quotient, all right? Your IQ, all right? There's another intelligence you need. There are several intelligences, as much as 12 intelligences, partial intelligence, numeric intelligence, and the rest of that. And then you now come into more of the softer side. You have what is called emotional intelligence, which is what we call EQ. And then you have social intelligence, which is what we call SQ. And then you have what is called positive intelligence, which is what we call PI or PQ. And then we have what is called adaptive intelligence, which was called AI or AQ. All right. So today we're going to start with the first one, which is the foundation of all of them. I know you want me to talk about emotional intelligence, but trust me, that's because that's all you know about. But let me talk to you about what is called positive intelligence. And it will really, really bless you. So what I'm going to talk about first, I'm going to talk to you about what positive intelligence is. And then number two, I'll talk to you about why you need positive intelligence. And then I will talk to you about the two different kinds of positive intelligence. Pastor Sam, is this language not too big? Positive intelligence, meaning you have an intelligence that is positive. Eh? That you are using your head properly in marriage. Does that make sense now? So that is worry interpretation. It is the ability to use your head properly in marriage. It's the ability to be able to use your sense, common sense, which is not common in most marriages. Is that okay? In most relationships, common sense is not common. So we want to talk to you about improving the capacity to use common sense. And one of the common senses you need to use is what we call positive intelligence. Eh? All right. So follow me carefully as I take you into the world of positive intelligence. Positive intelligence. Write this down. And you're going to see it on my screen. Positive intelligence is simply the capacity to use your mind to positively influence. Listen carefully. Use your mind to influence how you think. How you think, very important, how you feel, how you think, how you feel, how you will, all right? Number four, how you decide, and finally, how you act and behave. Positive intelligence is the ability to train your mind, your own mind, to be able to influence how you think. If you think wrongly, your relationship cannot go in the right direction. In essence, relationships go bad because somebody is thinking wrongly. The troubles in our marriages actually begins from the minds of men. Oh, Pastor, what did you just say right now? Yes, ma'am. Battle in the mind, battle in the house. It's just what it is. You cannot have a peaceful relationship with a partner who has battles in their own mind. Somebody cannot be thinking wrongly about you and relate rightly with you. Can you see where the trouble lies now? So whilst you are busy buying cars and buying all of that for somebody, listen to me. There's nothing you can do about a pig. If you like, buy a pig a car, buy a pig a house, a pig will always find its way back into the mort. It's just in the pig. It's not on the pig. So if you try to wash a pig and you don't take care of the dirt out of the mind of the pig is still going to find its way back to where the pig came out from. One of the prophets of God, I'm sure some of you know that story. His name happens to be Uzziah or Hosea. You know, Uzziah. You know, Hosea happened to be a prophet of God. And the Lord spoke to Uzziah to go marry Gomer. And Gomer happened to be a prostitute. Listen carefully to me, everybody. He married this prostitute. And unfortunately, even though he took her out of the street never went out of her. So no matter what love he showed to Gomer, Gomer still found her way back to the street. We had in the same Bible a woman who was, what's her name now, you know, in Jericho. We had a woman there, you know, who was actually a prostitute. And the Bible made us understand that they came for her rescue. And that woman never went back to prostitution. She became the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ generations after. One was taken off prostitution and prostitution was taken out of her. The other one was taken out of prostitution, but prostitution was still on the inside of her. Israel was taken out of Egypt, but Egypt never came out of them. See, the point I'm making is very simple. The battles in your marriage is beginning from the mind of one of you in the relationship. As singles, if you have a partner who has battles on the inside, conflict on the inside, and has not developed positive intelligence, the training of the mind, to ensure that the thinking, the feeling, the acting, the willing, the decisions, and the behaviors are all aiding your relationship, making it to work. The absence of positive intelligence will make somebody to have thinking, feeling, acting, decisions, and wills, and behaviors, and actions that are totally counterproductive to the health of your relationship. So follow me carefully today. We've got a lot to talk about because trust me, this is really, really going to hit at the core of some of the challenges that we are having in most of our relationships today. So don't forget that I said positive intelligence is the capacity to use your mind positively to influence, number one, use your own mind to influence how you think. How you think about a person will influence how you feel about the person. Can I say that again? How you think about a person will influence how you feel about the person. So, wrong thinking, wrong feeling. Wrong thinking, wrong feeling. And once your feelings are wrong, the next thing that's going to be wrong is that what you will to do, choose to do, and what you do and how you behave will ultimately be wrong. It all began with thinking wrongly. So never forget this. It's critical that you recognize the fact that everything about positive intelligence has to do with your mind. Now, emotional intelligence has to do with your emotions. And remember, I didn't talk about so much on emotions here. I'm going to deal more with actions and results. And in emotional intelligence, we'll deal with the other side of it. So follow me carefully. Positive intelligence. I'm doing it again. One of the things I was taught very early is that when you repeat it, people get it. All right? So here's my point again. Positive intelligence is the training of your mind to be able to think, training of your mind to be able to will, feel, act, decide, and behave. Ultimately, your behavior is tied to all the things that I've mentioned. If your thinking is wrong, your behaving will be wrong. If your feeling is wrong, your behaving will be wrong. As a man thinketh, so is he. You are the direct product of your thinking. So the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of them are the issues of life. In essence, your life and your relationship is constantly heading in the direction of your predominant thinking. Can I say that again? Your life and your relationship is constantly heading in the direction of your predominant thinking. Write that down. Let me see the fastest finger to put that together. Your life and your relationship will constantly be heading in the direction of your predominant thinking. Who is the first to put that together? God bless you. Go ahead and do that. All right? So never forget this, that unsuccessful relationships and successful relationships are all dependent, are all outcomes of whether positive intelligence is at work or not. In essence, relationships that are successful have in them individuals who are using positive intelligence. They've trained their minds not to work against their relationship. Did you hear what I just said right now? I'm going to be introducing you to some concepts. Is that okay? If you find individuals who are doing well in their relationships, you'll find out that these are individuals with positive intelligences. Positive intelligence. They've trained their minds to be able to influence their thinking, their feeling, their willing, their acting, their decision or deciding, and ultimately their behaviors. They've trained their mind. They guard their heart with all diligence because they know out of it are the issues of life. They understand that as a man thinketh, so is he. And that whatsoever a man imagines, that shall not be taken from the person. Your imagination about your partner can never take you away from your feelings about your partner. In essence, your imaginations about your partner will take you directly to your feelings about your partner. Meaning, what sponsors your feeling is your thinking and imagination. If you see your partner as a wicked person, it will affect your feeling. And ultimately to affect the stability of your relationship. I'm just laying foundation. Is that okay? So get your friends and families on board. If you've not shared the video, I forgot to talk to you about that. You know, today we did prophetic prayer hour and I forgot to talk about sharing the video till the end of the broadcast. So I don't want to do that again today. So would you be kind enough and as you share, to bless families who are going to be watching. May the God of heaven richly bless you for sharing the video to be a blessing to some other person. So would you be kind enough to quickly share the video right about now? Go ahead and share the video and the God of heaven will truly bless you for rescuing families. All right? Let's get down. Like I said, there are two kinds of relationships. Successful relationships and unsuccessful relationships. Now, when it comes to successful relationships, here's what we found out. We found that in successful relationships, the individuals in the relationship use positive intelligences to influence how they think, how they feel, how they act, how they decide, and how they behave in the relationship such that their minds serve their relationships. You didn't hear what I just said. Their minds serve their relationship. Their minds work for their relationship. This is the core of positive intelligence. That your mind begins to work for your relationship. The reason for the current tension in your marriage, in your relationship, is in the way you are thinking. Your thinking. Trust me, the trouble in your marriage, your relationship right now, is your thinking, your mind. Here's what I want to say to you. It is one thing for your partner to be married to you. It is another thing for the devil to have hijacked your mind. So you see, sometimes you have individuals who sleep together as husbands and wives, but the reality is that the enemy has the mind of another. That was exactly what happened with Adam and Eve. Eve was married to Adam, but her mind was influenced by the enemy. The marriage in the Garden of Eden was not lost. The problem in the Garden of Eden was not lost, did not happen, because a man fought his wife. No. Nobody talks to you about that. Always remember that the problem we had in the Garden of Eden did not begin with abuse. It did not even begin with adultery. There was no adultery, no abuse, no money problem. It began with the loss of control of somebody's mind. A woman's mind did no longer line up with her marriage, and so they lost everything. And she influenced her husband's mind. Don't forget that. It's about the mind. And your marriage goes as your mind goes. Pastor, what did you just say? Yes. Your marriage goes as your mind goes. Your relationship goes as your mind goes. Hey, let me ask you a question. Why did you password your phone? Something in your mind. Why is it that when you're going to the bathroom, you carry your phone into the bathroom, like your bathroom, like your phone is part of the tools you use to take your bath? Why do you do that, sir? Why do you do that, ma'am? Your mind. Something is going on in your mind. It's the mind. Why are you not sleeping in the same room with your husband? Why are you not sleeping in the same room with your wife? Why can't you sleep with your wife? Your mind. Why can't you talk with your husband? Why can't you talk with your wife? Why can't you talk with your partner? Your mind. Listen to me. The problem you think is the reason why you are not in good relationship. Trust me. Look at the problem again. It's not what's your separation. It's your mind that is amplifying the situation. What? See, positive intelligence is the use of your mind to serve your marriage. The Bible says, and David served the purpose of God in his generation. Here's what I want to tell you. If your marriage, your relationship is going to work, your mind must serve the relationship. And I'm going to tell you the opposite of your mind not serving the relationship. I'm going to tell you the opposite of that. What happens when your mind does not serve the relationship profitably? Number two, take note of this. Unsuccessful relationships are relationships where there is no positive intelligence, and in essence, the mind does not serve the relationship. It sabotages it. Your mind is working against your marriage. Your mind is working against your relationship. When minds work against relationships, nothing from the outside will make it work. Why do you go outside to sleep with some other girls? Something is wrong with your mind. Simply put, something is wrong with your mind. Your thinking is wrong. Something, listen, even if your wife is not giving you sex, is that okay? It is a wrong thinking that ends you up on somebody else's laps. Because right thinking will suggest that you do something else. So it is wrong thinking, a mind that is not serving a marriage, that leads you in the wrong direction. So follow me as we deal with this whole concept. I'm just laying the foundation on positive intelligence. This is what is absent in many relationships. When I began to do studies on positive intelligence, my world just lightened up. And I still feel so much compassion for individuals who are ignorant about the use of positive intelligence to make marriages work. Remember, please, positive intelligence helps you to ensure that your mind is always serving and not sabotaging your life and your relationship. Positive intelligence. You have positive intelligence when your mind is helping and not hurting, not hindering. Your mind is serving and not sabotaging your life and your relationship. Reasons why you need positive intelligence. Number one, you need positive intelligence because it increases the quality of decisions you make. Write that down. You need positive intelligence. The training of your mind to be able to serve you, serve your life, serve your relationship, serve your purpose. The training of your mind so that it influences your thinking, it influences your feeling, your acting, your deciding, your decisions, your willing, your behavior. You need to do that so that you can be able to make quality decisions. Number two, you need to study positive intelligence. You need to understand and apply it because it increases the quality of success that you have. It increases the quality of success that you have. High positive intelligence attracts greater success. Write that down. High positive intelligence attracts greater success. So when your mind is serving you, you attract greater success. When your mind is fighting against you, when your mind is sabotaging you, you don't have great success. Number three reason why you need positive intelligence or wisdom. It increases your ability to communicate and connect with the opposite sex. Positive intelligence enables you to be able to communicate and connect with the opposite sex. Never forget that. It's on the screen for you. I'm sure they're going to show you that so you can take a screenshot of that and you go and rehearse that. Positive intelligence helps you to communicate and connect with the opposite sex. Why? Your mind is under control. So you are able to communicate and connect with the opposite sex. It reduces your personal stress level. Positive intelligence reduces your personal stress level, and I'm going to show you how very shortly. It reduces your personal stress level. And ultimately, positive intelligence increases your health status. Your physical health, your mental health is enhanced by positive intelligence. When your mind is trained to serve your purpose, to serve your life, to serve your relationship, what happens is that physically you are healthy, mentally you are sound. So follow me carefully. I want to show you something now. I had said that there are two things about positive intelligence. It is a training of your mind to serve you, to serve your life, serve your purpose, and serve your relationship. The other side of it is that if your mind is not serving you, your mind will be sabotaging you. So those who have high positive intelligence, their minds serve them. Those who have low positive intelligences, their minds sabotages them. Their minds becomes the reason why they lose their relationships. Your mind. Their minds become the reason why they're having trouble in their marriages, in their relationships. Their minds. The mouth talk as the mind thinks. The man acts as the man thinks. The woman behaves as she thinks. So the mind becomes the fountain from which saving your mind, your life, or sabotaging it flows from. You're busy trying to deal with what is happening in the marriage. What you've not dealt with is where it is flowing from. In the Bible, in 2 Kings, I think in chapter 4, thereabout, or 5, the Bible talks about the fact that there was a time when the people of Israel came to Elisha And they said, Elisha, they said, look, the water of our city is beautiful, but the condition of the water is bad. Anybody that drinks the water dies. People fall sick and people are dying. You know what Elisha said? Elisha said, listen to me. Stop talking to me about the water in your containers and all of that. Take me to the source. Very powerful statement. Elisha said, take me to where the water is flowing from. And they took him to the source where the water flows from. And guess what he did? He said, get me a new salt, a cruse of salt. And he poured the salt right in the source. And the water, listen to how the Bible puts it, the water was healed from the source, from the source. Until your mind is healed, your marriage will never be healed. Until your mind is healthy, your marriage cannot be healthy. It is the fountain from where the waters that are causing challenges in your relationship, that's where it flows from. Your mind, your past experiences, your past memories, your past encounters, it's flowing from your mind. So heal the mind and you will heal the relationship. Write that down. Heal the mind and you will heal the relationship. I have since understood that you can never fix a marriage until the minds of men are fixed. You can never fix a relationship until the minds of men and women are fixed. Now, watch this carefully. Before I talk about how your mind can serve you, there are five ways by which your mind can serve you. Before I talk about how your mind can serve you, let me share with you 5 out of 10 ways by which your mind sabotages you, by which your mind spoils your relationship, destroys your relationship. We call them the 5 saboteurs. Don't let that big English bother you. We just simply talk about 5 ways by which your mind despoils your relationship. Yeah? Listen, it doesn't matter what your title is, what your position is. I honestly respect you. But trust me, if you don't deal with this, it will deal with you. And it's some things that I've suffered. Until my eyes were open to these things. My people are destroyed, not for the lack of prayer, but for the lack of knowledge. And I want you to approach this subject with a very open heart. Trust me, you can be changed if you are not open to learn. Again, that is still a problem of the mind. So be open. Be humble enough to learn. And it only makes your relationship better. What are the saboteurs? What are the things that sabotages our... What are the kind of feeling, thinking, acting, willing, behaving? What are the kind of things that sabotages our relationship that flows from our minds? There are 5 major saboteurs out of 10 that I would like to talk to you about. There are 10 of them, but I will just share with you 5. Number 1 saboteur is what we call the judge. The judge. This is the lying fault finder. When your mind is ruled by the judge, how do you know that your mind is a mind that has the judge as a saboteur ruling your mind, affecting your thinking, affecting your feeling, your behaving, your acting, your decisions? How do you know the name of the saboteur that is influencing your mind? Well, if that saboteur always makes you to find fault with people, you are always finding faults. You are always looking for fault. You are a fault finder. We call that saboteur ruling your mind the judge. It is one of the most destructive saboteurs in any relationship. You never see anything good about your partner. you are taught that you should learn to commend your partner at least 5 times before you make one observation of something wrong. No, you will make 5 observations of something wrong and hardly even make a commendation of something that is right. Because you are ruled by the judge. And you know why the judge is ruling your mind? Because you grew up being judged. All right, suki, suki, suki. I told you this is going to be very deep. I tell you. It's going to be very deep. Why are you so much of a fault finder? Because you grew up, that's the environment you grew up in. They were always looking for your faults too. Nobody commended you. Nobody ever pats you at the back. Everything is okay. Nobody ever pats you at the back to say, look, you're doing well. Nobody ever pats you on the back and say, you're fantastic. Celebration is far from you. Appreciation is something you're not used to. So what has that done to you? It has enthroned on your mind what we call the judge. One of the most devastating and dangerous saboteurs in positive intelligence. It never creates an exciting atmosphere in your relationship. Because your partner is ever conscious of not doing something wrong. It's called the judge. It makes you to always want to be a perfectionist. If it's not perfect, it is not right. If it's not perfect, it is not right. I'm coming down to that kind of, in a greater sense, I'm coming to that one too. But the fault finder, anytime your partner is coming back, sorry, why does your shirt has a red spot? What do you mean by what's on your mind? Maybe a woman kissed them, right? Why are you coming back by this time? Why? You're just ever on the side of criticism. Ever on the side of finding faults. It is a reflection of the fact that a sage, a wise one, is not sitting on your heart. The one sitting over your mind is called the judge, a fault finder. And let me tell you why sometimes some of us like to use the judge, why we allow the judge to rule our minds. It's very simple. You always want to find your partner's fault so that as you talk more about your partner's fault, you reduce your partner. It's a strategic approach for control. It's a strategic approach for control. You do that for control. Because the more I tell the person that, look at this, look at that, look at that, the person becomes subservient. Is that okay? So please take note. One of the major saboteurs is all called the judge. Number two is what we call the stickler. The stickler. It's on the screen. The stickler. Somebody that likes to stick to something. These are people who take it from the judge and move to another dimension of perfection. Always looking for perfection. Unfortunately, you don't even offer what you are looking for. So you are looking for perfection instead of improvement. My wife, you didn't keep it here. My children, they didn't keep it here. You didn't keep it there. You know, everything should be to T. You're not dealing with robots. You're dealing with human beings. I'm not saying your heart should be disorderly. But the point is, once a perfectionist tendency is what rules your mind, it will influence your thinking. It will influence your feeling. It will influence your acting, deciding, and your behavior. It frustrates relationships. It frustrates relationships. Number three, saboteur. You need to check which one is ruling in your mind, right? Number three is what we call the pleaser. The pleaser. the people pleaser. Huh? Your life, you just see what rules your mind is the desire to just be in the good book of everybody. You don't want to offend anybody. You want to make everybody happy. I've been there before. You want to make everybody happy at the expense of your own peace. You take everything. You take insult. You take reproach. You take everything. You are more of a human doing than a human being because you just want to please everybody. Once the pleaser is sitting on your mind, you will always want to please everybody, and what that will do is that ultimately it will backfire on your relationship. Because you will take sides even with those who are against your marriage, against your partner. You will take sides with them because you don't want to offend anybody. Your mother will call, you will go. Your brother will call, you will go. Your husband will come, everybody will call, you will go. You're just a yes, yes person. So we always say you don't have a spine. You don't have your own personality. You don't have your own identity. You just line up with whatever flows. You're almost like, you know, a worm always moves in the direction of least resistance, like water. So you're a people pleaser. And it's affecting your relationship. Number four is what we call the victim. The victim. This is one of the most dangerous saboteurs that controls the mind and makes it to sabotage relationships. Victims. The victim. This is an emotional manipulator. This is someone who knows how to manipulate your partner using emotions. Emotional blackmail. You always want to be the victim. We say something. The next thing is you take what you said this about me. But was that all that we said? Is this about playing the victim's card? It's a very, very terrible, demonic, manipulative approach. You know the reason why we use it? When we were growing up, we used it. It worked when we're growing up. We were able to manipulate people around. And when we cry, our mothers will give us something. When we hit ourselves on the floor, our daddy will say, no, stand up and buy this for us, you know? So if you grew up like that, where you use emotions to control people, to influence people, when you grow up, you're likely going to be using the same thing that worked for you when you were a child. Unfortunately, it's going to be a saboteur to you in adulthood. So you use crying, you use threats, I will kill myself, I will just die, I will, you know, you use all those threatening words. I will leave the marriage, I will, you know, I will go and hit a road, I will enter, I will jump into the lagoon, and you know, stuff like that. I'll poison myself. I'll cut myself. So here's the point. Once you allow the victim to be sitting on your mind, it influences your relationship negatively and does not create stability in that relationship. Here's something. Let me say something to you. I learned that several years ago. Most men who are smart, the moment they notice that they are married to a woman who is always talking about suicide, any little thing she's talking about death, you know what most of them will do? They will allow her to stay with them for a long time, create an environment of peace, because no man wants to have a woman die in his hands like that. So what the men will do is they practice something we call yielding. They keep yielding grounds, and that is simply because this woman is suicidal by tendency. Let me not be the reason why she will kill herself. So they keep yielding grounds for as long as it will take. It is a hope and prayer that somewhere along the line the woman will change. If she does not, the man will accommodate her but will distance his emotions from her until an appropriate time, mostly when the children are no more between them. Then the man will drift until it cuts. It's yielding, drifting, cutting. So if you're a woman, you are always using this victim approach. I'll kill myself. You know, I would rather die. When you start speaking language of death, men understand the concept of yielding, drifting, and cutting. And it can be for 20 years. And the same thing with you men. If you leave me, I will die. If you marry a wise woman who understands this, she will be with you until the kids are out of the equation. And she will gradually, systematically cut away from you so that you don't die in her custody. The reason I'm saying this is, let's stop playing the victim card on each other. It doesn't help any of us. Number five, there are 10 of them, but I'll only share 5 with you today. Number 5 is what we call the avoider. The avoider. When the avoider sits on your mind, what that does is that it causes you to be a constant escapist. You will always want to find ways to avoid your partner. Always want to find ways. You are more comfortable in your partner's absence. It's called an avoider. You are not, it's not normal. And don't try to excuse it. Something is wrong. Your mind needs help. I know you speak in tongues, but you need help. If any of the 5 I've mentioned are sitting on your mind, please, you need help. You cannot have a good relationship with any of these ones sitting on your mind. If you have the avoider, you will constantly want to evade anything that brings you into a relationship with your partner. So you're going to be what we call a constant escapist. Avoid conversations, avoid intimacy, avoid interaction, avoid planning, avoid, you know, whatever, confrontation, interaction, you just want to avoid it. All right? And you feel, here's the point, you feel comfortable in a state of isolation from your partner. Let me say this. If you always feel comfortable in the absence of your partner, you are wicked to the marriage. If you find yourself comfortable in your marriage, not that your partner is injurious to you, you just love being alone. Why did you marry, which is coming together, when you want to be alone? And many of us are killing each other with that. So it's important for you to understand that the avoider is a negative influence on the mind and does not help you to build positive intelligence. And if it doesn't help you to build positive intelligence, you don't have a healthy relationship. You're not going to miss out on the things that I'm going to be sharing tomorrow. 3 more intelligences I'm going to be sharing tomorrow. You don't want to miss out on that. I just thought it's important for us to talk about this because I know many of us are new to this whole concept. So in order to avoid what we call the saboteurs, the 5 that I mentioned to you, in order to avoid them so that we can build positive intelligence where our mind is serving our relationship and not sabotaging it. In order to build a mind that serves our relationship and our lives and our destiny, there are 5 major sage, 5 major wisdom approach you need to engage. Number 1, explore. It is critical that you take note of this, explore. And I'm going to talk to you about what that is all about right about now. The first thing I want to talk about here is exploring. People with positive intelligence, they explore life and relationship with great curiosity. They just want to learn. They want to know more. Oh my goodness. Can I help you? You never have a qualitative relationship when you already have a ready-made opinion about your partner. explore with great curiosity. Find out why your partner is doing what your partner is doing, why he's saying what he's saying. Stop making conclusions and assumptions without interactions and questions. People with positive intelligence, they always want to know why. Very early in our marriage, I bought a gift and I brought it home thinking my wife was going to celebrate it. She just came out, looked at the gift, said thank you, walked away. If we were to have a divorce, that was a good moment to have a divorce. Or that would have been the beginning of divorce. But you see, exploring. Instead of getting offended to fight and to do all of that, I calmed myself. Emotional intelligence. Calm yourself. Positive intelligence. Explore why. And I began to say, why did she do that? And it was as a result of that that I discovered gender dialect. And I got to realize that I bought gift for my wife, but that is not her love language. That's not her dialect. I realized that her dialect is identification at work. So you see, exploring. And we've had moments in our relationship. Instead of reacting, I've had to use this opportunity to say, look, let me learn. Why is she doing this? Why is he doing this? Why are they doing this? People with positive intelligence don't rely on assumptions. They don't rely on personal inferences without interaction. And there's no way you can know your partner's mind without asking your partner what's on your mind. Stop this wicked and ungodly thing, which is, I know what is in your mind. You are not a mind reader. You've not been gifted with such a grace. Why assume what you think people are thinking? David prayed a prayer. He said, God, deliver me from one thing. He calls it assumption, presumption. He calls it a great sin. So instead of assuming what your partner is thinking, why don't you just ask your partner, what do you mean by what you said? What do you mean by what you did? Ask questions. In my country here, they always say those who ask questions don't get lost. Particularly if they have asked the right persons. So in positive intelligence, one of the things you learn is you learn exploration. You learn to explore with great curiosity and open mind what your partner is thinking, feeling, why your partner said, act, and did what your partner did. You ask your partner. You don't make your own assumptions. Assumption is the lowest form of knowledge, so don't do it. With positive intelligence, you explore. Number two, with positive intelligence, you empathize. You empathize. You put yourself in somebody else's shoe. You put yourself in your partner's shoe. Now look, wait a minute. I've been buying things for myself. I've been buying clothes for myself. I bought a car for myself. I bought this for myself. I bought that for myself. Wait a minute. I've not bought 10% of what I bought for myself for my wife. I've not bought 10% of what I bought for myself for my husband. How will my partner be feeling? Put yourself in the person's shoe. It's called empathy. It flows from compassion. It flows from there. A woman called me and she said, Pastor Sam, and she mentioned to me how many years now her husband has not slept with her. Hello, sir, how do you feel that you brought a woman into your life only to abandon her in bed alone? I understand what you are all saying now. Something is definitely wrong. Yes. Empathy. Walking in the other person's shoe with compassion. It is critical that if you're going to flow with positive intelligence, that you function with empathy. Number three, innovate. Innovate. Those who have positive intelligence, they always flip things around. They always say, look, can we look at this from a different point of view? They don't look at things from a linear point. They innovate. They flip things around. They say, listen to me. Okay, why don't you look at this situation from a different point of view? They increase the latitude of their minds. They have space for elongated perspective to issues. They are not narrow-minded, rigid people. They are not just people that, you know, me, it's black or white. No, there are shades of gray. Stop talking like that. Make you see. See, you know, sometimes when I hear somebody, you know me, I give it to you hot. I give it hot, hot. You know me, I don't mince words. I say what's on my mind. Welcome to the world. You are still in the kindergarten of life. And may you not take that to the world where people are just going to literally laugh at you. Let me say this. Who is your master? Is Jesus your master? Let me talk to you how Jesus talks. They said to him, they said, you are the master of the Jews. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, you said so. At some point they were asking him questions. The Bible says he answered not a word. That is a man. He is the truth. Haven't you wondered how that the truth doesn't just pour out the truth like that? Are you more truthful than Jesus? The Bible even teaches you that the truth should be spoken in love. The truth should be shared in love. So you can't say that, look, me, I just say and I don't care how anybody feels. That is not truth. That is wickedness. Stop making statements like, you know, that's my personality. Hey, it shows your ignorance, because the latest discovery of the 21st century is that there is no personality that cannot be altered. You're not very blunt, and so must you kill people because of that? With that, it's time to upgrade with positive intelligence. Be empathetic in the way you speak. Let it show that it's flowing from a heart of love. I hate to see marriages break down. I hate to see relationships in pain. And that's why I'm taking all this time. I'm preaching, I'm praying for you tomorrow morning, and I'm taking this time to pour my heart out to you. And it's not because I want to show you what I know. It's just from the love that I have for your relationship. I want to see it work. So innovate. Number three, people with positive intelligence, they navigate. They navigate, meaning that they always find the easiest way and the best of ways to make things work. They try to find what is the underlying values and the underlying reasons behind the thing, and they find ways around such matters. They don't just innovate, they navigate. They find special ways to get things done, to make relationships work. Lastly, they activate. They activate. What that simply means is that they take decisions that are not influenced by negative interferences or distractions. They take decisions. When it's time to show compassion, when it's time to show love, when it's time to reach out to your partner, you take that decision. You don't just talk about it. When it's time to reach across the wall, you do it. You don't just talk about it. You actually do it. I'm out of time. I've just been notified. I'm out of time, but I'm not out of words. Tomorrow, we're going to continue still on this subject on positive on intelligences. I've started on positive intelligence today. There are three others that I'm going to be sharing with you tomorrow, and I hope I'm able to cover all of that. Otherwise, we're just going to move them over to the week that is to come. I'm sure you've learned something today. Most importantly, don't forget what I told you. Your mind will either serve your life, your relationship, and your destiny. It will either serve it or sabotage it. Your mind, how you think, how you feel, how you act, how you will, how you decide, ultimately how you behave, can work against not only your life, your relationship, but your destiny. In order for that not to be your situation, study the five saboteurs that I mentioned. Avoid them. Embrace the five sage that I mentioned. Welcome them into your life. These are wise ones. When you invite navigating, activating, innovating, when you invite such into your life, you are becoming wiser in your dealings with human beings. What that does is that your relationship becomes better. You didn't sign up to marry someone so you can suffer. It happens because saboteurs take over sage. In order for marriages to become better, the sage must take over saboteurs. And you can make it happen. And if there's any way I can be of help to you, I'll be more than willing to do so. I'm out of time, but I'm not out of words. Until I come your way, bright and early, 5:50 a.m. West African time tomorrow, during the prophetic prayer hour, and I hope you don't miss out.